This episode is sponsored by Endress & Hauser. At Endress & Hauser, diversity makes enterprises sustainably successful. Multiple women in leadership positions at Endress & Hauser Group launched their Women's Integrated Network Initiative together with their executive board. In a model project in the U.S., Endress & Hauser doubled the proportion of women in management to almost a third within 4 years. Diversity is crucial to companies, explains co-initiator Sandra Rupert, corporate director of brand management and communications. The more people with different perspectives get involved, the more robust, agile, and innovative organizations become. Endress & Hauser is a global leader in measurement instrumentation, services, and solutions for industrial process engineering. Learn more at endress.com. If you haven't already noticed, new episodes of the Women Offshore podcast will now be published every Tuesday. So on whatever platform you listen to our podcast, check back in each Tuesday for a new episode. Thank you to the Oil and Gas Global Network, known as OGGN. They're the ones publishing the show and always providing us with great resources and guidance to support the intent of this podcast. We're going to continue with our 2022 mini-series on sexual assault and sexual harassment. In the last episode, I read a story of one woman's experience being sexually harassed and assaulted at sea. Today, we will find out what happened and hear from another woman representing a movement to stand up for volunteer crews and yachting. Before we get going, this episode contains content that may be alarming to some listeners. We advise listener and reader discretion. This episode contains a story related to sexual assault and harassment. We do our best to hold these topics with sincerity, and we hope you'll listen in only when you feel ready and able. Check the show notes for support resources, and please take care of yourself. This is the Women Offshore podcast. Women Offshore is a 501c3 nonprofit organization supporting a diverse workforce on the water. I want to say that if you have been a victim or a witness to sexual assault or sexual harassment, you are not alone and can take action today. We encourage you to report such matters to your employer, academy, or union as per their guidelines, or directly to the U.S. Coast Guard through their TIPS app. It can be hard to speak up, but is a necessary step in seeking help and breaking the cycle of sexual assault and sexual harassment. In the story in the last episode, there were so many aspects that I could identify with. First, the escalation. The captain continued to push for sexual advances. Second, she had no means of escape. And because the wife could not stand her watch, the woman in the story was forced to interact with the captain more and spend more time with him. She tried to avoid him. On a vessel, you live and work on board together. Avoiding someone on board can be quite difficult. He also had access to her room. Probably one of the most terrifying parts of the story was her waking up to him. I've spoken to women about this before, across different sectors of the maritime industry, including the merchant marine. It is absolutely terrifying to think someone would enter your room without consent and touch you while you are sleeping. That's why control of the master key is so important, as well as having CCTV on board. When there are cameras in the passageway, anyone going in and out of cabins will be seen. And what happens when the person harassing or assaulting you is the captain or another senior level person on board? This can make the situation even more difficult to navigate. The power imbalance can make someone feel helpless, keeping them from even saying no or reporting the situation. It's not easy to be in a victim's shoes. There are so many reasons to not report. If there is even a reporting avenue you trust at your fingertips, document absolutely everything. Write down the times, dates, place, and witnesses. This frees up mental space and puts the story in a safe place. It also will be necessary to rely on notes when reporting the situation, and it's better to write it down as soon as it happens so that facts are not forgotten about. Be in touch with your support system. Talk to a close friend or family member about what's happening. Know that you are loved by them and that this experience doesn't define you or have to define your career. There are companies and vessels out there that embrace diversity and respect their crewmates. Report the matter as soon as you can. In many cases, there are reporting avenues such as the Coast Guard, HR, Maritime School, our Academy, and union representation. However, in some cases, there aren't reporting avenues, and that needs to change, such as on a fishing boat or yacht overseas. And to the company representatives listening, one thing that I'm tired of hearing from women in the industry is the pressure that they received during the investigation on why they didn't report right away. There are a lot of reasons why a victim won't report the situation until they get off the ship and they have time to process it. And I think that gets overlooked a lot by investigators who don't understand what it's like to be in a closed environment where you live and work with the person that is harassing you. If you've taken this approach in the past where you question and you dismiss a victim because they did not report when they were on board or they waited a while to report, please take a different approach the next time and understand how difficult it can be to come forward and that a victim needs time to process what happened. Getting back to the victim, get off the vessel where you can to be supported and get to safety as soon as possible. You may feel worse being removed from the situation, like you're the problem, that it's your fault. But your safety is so important. And if someone is jeopardizing that, you shouldn't be in an unsafe environment. Now, we'd like to think that the perpetrator will be removed as well, but that's not always the case. But I want you to be safe. So if the company is not going to remove that person, put your safety first. And just remember, and I'll say this again, there are companies and vessels out there that embrace diversity and respect their crewmates. This situation that happened does not define you, and it doesn't have to define your career. There's so many more opportunities out there for you. So let's see what happened to the woman in our story from the last episode. Once she left that yacht, did she report? Did she press charges? I'm sure you want to know. I wanted to report him to the crewing website, but when I discovered their reporting policy, I abandoned the idea. Indeed, the site announced that it does not want to take sides in conflicts between users and that they will not judge problematic actions based on the testimony of a single person. What good is it if my word is questioned? I said to myself. I gave up on the idea and I learned to live with what happened. It's a shame, isn't it? I have so many questions. She should have been able to report this to the crewing agency. Her experience mattered, and they should have done something about it, preventing other women or other people from having a similar experience. And if she couldn't report it to the crewing website, what about a government agency? The collective Sailing Safety for Women recently was established as a Facebook group. The group has quickly grown to include over 800 members, sharing stories and offering support for women who have experienced sexual harassment and or assault or rape at sea while working on sailing yachts. Today, representing the group is Leela Gold to share her own thoughts and experiences, as well as what the group is fighting for. Welcome, Leela, to the Women Offshore podcast. What were your thoughts after hearing the story we featured on our last episode?
Well, basically, my thoughts were that, you know, it's not the first story we hear describing such crimes, basically. We have literally dozens of those and others that are actually much more serious because they do involve, for instance, rapes or sometimes death threats or sometimes very strong violence that sent the female crew to the hospital. So, yes, this story is very shocking because it describes very well the situation of oppression and pressure and, you know, panic in a way, of fear that a voluntary crew can find herself in. But it's just one of many. And this is the most concerning. We have so many of those. And this is, you know, this is why we created our collective, because we understood that there was a huge issue there that was not addressed and sometimes even enabled by the actors in this voluntary crew and boat pairing world, namely two platforms which are called crewbay.com and findthecrew.net, crewbay.com being a UK website and findthecrew.net being based in Australia. And yes, we understood that there is a systemic issue, which is why there are so many victims. So yeah, unfortunately, this person is just one out of many.
The story came out of your movement to create change in yachting, specifically co-navigation or voluntary crewing. So for those who are unfamiliar with the yachting world, may never have heard of this concept of voluntary crewing or co-navigation, can you explain what it means and what's the lifestyle like?
Yes, of course. So basically, voluntary crewing is private yachts, you know, men or women owning their sailboats, register on these platforms. There are also a lot of Facebook groups, and they just look for crew. But in order to make it flexible, easy, cheap, and mutually beneficial, those positions are voluntary. So this means that, in a way, it's made very easy for both parties to find each other and interact and come to an agreement. But it also means that you have, for instance, a lot of very young people wanting to be voluntary crew on these sailboats. And this, I wanted just to come back on the previous story that you mentioned, because in this story, the lady is an experienced crew. I think she even had a skipper license, and she's above 35 years old, if I remember correctly. But can you imagine when this happens with a girl of 18 years old? And I say girl on purpose because, voila, you're still very young when you're 18. You're very innocent. You're very inexperienced. But yeah, because of those websites and those Facebook groups and everything is so easy and, you know, there are so many members, you have very young females, very young girls who actually decide to jump on board a ship with a lone captain and cross the Atlantic. I have chatted with many of them. And this is a huge danger because they're at risk, basically. So yes, voluntary crew is basically a completely unregulated world in this sense, and it's very easy to make it happen. So this is what we are talking about. And yes, there is no agreement, no contractual agreement, no protection, no insurance required. It's all completely outside of the law in a way. And so if anything happens, the crew find themselves completely under the control of the captain on his boat, under his, you know, expert sailing guidance in a way. And so there is a very big power imbalance on board. And this power imbalance, of course, benefits the captain and not the crew. When I say captain, I mean the boat owner. I know that captain is also an official certification, but this is how we call these men because they are basically the masters on board. So yes, the power imbalance benefits them heavily. And if you have such a man who has mental health issues, like unfortunately many do, as we now know, well, you're in big trouble because he can start, and this is something we have observed in many cases, he can start becoming violent after a few days at sea. And after a few days at sea, when you are in the middle of the ocean and the person that you met in the marina, who was very polite, very sometimes charming, very pleasant, turns into a completely paranoid, violent, verbally abusive, sometimes starts to walk around naked, while it had been mentioned that nudity should not be a part of the journey. then voilà, you have those voluntary female crew who are just panicking. And some of them, as we heard, they just started to not leave the knife that they had in their pocket at all times. Or even a more extreme case, one of them didn't leave the cabin for 10 days because she was so scared of the skipper, who had become completely mad. In this case, a real psychological disorder. And yeah, she didn't leave the cabin almost for 10 days. When she tried, he started to beat her up. And she could only escape by jumping into the water once they had arrived in the marina, because he had said that she should behave like everything is okay between them for the local authorities. It was in the South Pacific. And she saw that he was extremely dangerous. Of course, by then she knew. But because they were in the marina, she jumped into the water and was rescued by the nearby boat who was anchored nearby. I mean, those situations just should not happen.
Wow. Yeah, keep going. I'm just
No, absolutely.
In shock.
They should be known, because the specificity with what happens in this voluntary crewing and boat pairing world is that you never hear about these stories. And why don't you hear about them? Well, first of all, because they happen usually sometimes far away. Like me, I was assaulted and it was in French Polynesia. And I was so traumatized and, you know, so ashamed that I had been basically ambushed or tricked into joining this boat with this captain that I thought was a very serious person. I had vetted him according to certain parameters and I had made sure he was aware of my profile and I'm an expert professional in my field and so on. So I was really not expecting that. And when it happened, my only desire was just to escape the region and try to forget. And this is what most victims go through. They just want to go back home, not talk about it with anybody, and try to forget. But the problem is that then the PTSD creeps in. And you cannot forget these things. And you cannot heal without external support, psychological and so on. So yes, because of that, because of the shame, because of the trauma, because you never hear about these stories, so you feel like maybe you're the only one. And you know, you feel very isolated, you feel very vulnerable. Sometimes you have been threatened. I have been threatened. This man said, I will sue you if, you know, you say anything, if you press charges or anything. I am pressing charges, obviously, but it was not an easy step to take. Actually, it's in the process. It has not been done yet because I'm still, it's a very, very difficult process. So yes, so basically you never hear about it because the victims don't press charges and because the victims are burying this trauma in their shame and wanting to forget. So yes, when this happens, you just are very, very surprised, very shocked. You never heard of it. Certainly the websites, and this is a major issue, like crewbay.com and findthecrew.net, do not mention this risk on their platforms, which is something we are fighting for, because we feel that if the women and girls knew about this risk, they would be prepared. First of all, they could choose their boats accordingly, meaning that they would not go alone with a captain because it's not safe. This is the first rule that we give our collective's members, including the ones who have not been assaulted. We tell them just don't go on board a sailboat alone with a captain. That's the first safety advice. But yes, these websites should mention this risk because it is widespread. As I said, we have dozens of testimonies. And it's closer to 100 than to zero. And we are a small collective. Huh? We're only 800 members. So how many more, you know, women and girls we have to reach out to in order to see the extent of the issue? So yes, these websites should mention this risk. They refuse to do so. And we now know why. And that's a huge issue, because the reason is that it doesn't fit the image that they want to give of, you know, a lot of fun and, you know, beautiful experiences and living your dream and ta-ta-ta, which is really kind of false advertising because, voilà, it happens really a lot. And the second reason is also that these captains are their paying members. They rely on them for their financial, you know, equilibrium. So obviously, you know, dissuading them to do whatever they want with female crew, clearly by telling them that there will be legal implications, that there will be legal consequences, that this website will support the victim through the legal processes and so on, is not in their interest. And that's why they find all sorts of very fallacious excuses not to do it. And this is something we have been fighting for with them since a year now. And I must say that the resistance is still extremely strong, which has led us to reach out to NGOs and charities active in this field, among which Women Offshore, and we do very strongly appreciate your support, Ali, on this front, and also to other NGOs and charities, but as well to governmental authorities, because we're talking about sexual violence here. We're talking about crimes. We're talking about women and girls that are literally put into the claws of sexual predators. We have a member, actually, no, three members who were assaulted by a convicted rapist who found them on Crew Bay. Mm. Well, this man was just recruiting a very young female crew. They were all in their early 20s, students, on Crew Bay, undisturbed, until one or more, we don't really know, we don't have the information, complained about him. But he was not removed immediately. He was removed only a few months after. I mean, we believe. But again, we don't have the details on that because it's not information that Crew Bay shares with us. Also because our dialogue with them is not of good quality. They're not a trustworthy interlocutor. And unfortunately, only pressure works with them. So yes, a convicted rapist, voila, was recruiting crew. And he assaulted three women in 2021 only. So how many more victims that we don't know about?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing so much. And something that just comes to mind is, do you think your industry will actually change? And I use industry loosely here because it's not regulated, it's volunteer. But do you think the sector will really change?
Well, actually, it's an important topic, the regulation topic, which is why we have started to involve the governmental authorities. We want this world of boat and crew pairing, voluntary crew, to be regulated, basically. We want that there is a governmental oversight. We want that there is a regulatory framework. We want official administrative inquiries into how they handle sexual assault and sexual harassments that are reported and occurring because of, you know, this website putting the people in contact. Voila, because the topic is so serious, because we're talking about sexual violence, we do believe the governmental authorities should be involved. And this is what we are working on successfully, I must say. For now, the response is extremely positive, because of course, it's so shocking that nobody can stay indifferent to the plight of these women and girls, including me. Except, of course, those two platforms, they do stay indifferent and they do try to avoid enforcing any sort of prevention or dissuasion, or even when some reports are made to them. Findacrew.net, at least, has all sorts of tricks, and I use this term on purpose, to discourage the crew to report abusive captains. It's even written on their website in their Q&A section that they will not act upon only one report. That's extremely problematic.
Wow.
Yeah, it is written. And that's why many of our members did not report the men who assaulted them, including the lady in the testimony that you just read. She did not report it to this platform because she knew it would be useless, because the platform discouraged to do so. Black on white, it is written. And even when we tried to report it, they find all sorts of fallacious excuses. Again, they say, oh, we need a police report. It's not true. They can ban anybody they want. It's their prerogative. And when we know that only 10% of victims actually go to the police, of course, a police report shouldn't be needed. And also, you should be able to ban captains for things that do not require a police report. Like, for instance, when a captain tells a female crew who is supposed to join him that there will be other crew coming because she doesn't want to join him alone. And he says, yes, yes, some other crew are coming too, etc. We have a recent example like that. When she arrived on the boat, the captain, after drinking a bit of wine, etc., told her, no other crew is coming. It's only you and me. And she was already on his boat. Yes, this captain should be banned. But now Findacrew or Crew Bay do not accept this kind of reportings. So that's extremely problematic, because it means, as an NGO partner said, that they create space for predators to act while refusing to take any responsibility in case of abuse. This is what a good friend NGO mentioned when we talked about the issue with them. So yes, we want a governmental oversight. We want official inquiries. We also want, that's more ambitious, but we do want to try at least, that there is some sort of a registry of sexual offenders who are active as sailors. At an international level, maybe working with some relevant UN agency, We have some contacts on this front because these men move. So once they victimize somewhere and they see that the heat is growing because maybe the victim said they would press charges or things like that, they just change region and they escape the law and nothing happens. And they victimize again elsewhere. And this is why you have, and we have the case of one sailor who has victimized over a period of 30, 40 years, undisturbed. Wow. Because A, the victims don't press charges. B, it's always in different regions of the world. And even if he had a criminal record, we wouldn't know about it. The convicted rapist, we only knew about it because one of his victims actually wrote an article about him, mentioning the conviction. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. So how many of these men do have a criminal record on these websites? So we want these websites, A, to verify the identity of all the members with an ID paper, and B, at some point, to ask for a criminal record. Because even if you cannot have the criminal record of all countries that these men have been into, it will send the message that these crimes will not be tolerated anymore. And of course, in parallel to that, they need to do very serious prevention, saying these risks exist. Female crew do not sail alone with a captain, because we have received reports that this is indeed a pervasive issue. And so you need to stay safe. For now, both websites, Find the Crew and Crew Bay, refuse to do so. And this is extremely serious for us.
Yeah, it is a huge problem. And I'm glad you're speaking up. I'm glad that there is this movement that you're seeking change from government entities and that you came to us too, so we could help in various ways. So is there anything else that you want to cover? And I feel like we've covered a lot in 20 minutes. Is there anything else?
I'd like to say that our collective is not only with women. We have a lot of men in our collective, a lot of men who support these changes, who support this sort of revolution in the sailing world. Most of them are captains, but we also have heads of another crewing website, a French one, which actually implemented the changes we wanted immediately. So that's
wow, that's great.
Immediately, the same day. Of course, because he cares about the safety of women and girls' crew. So he just, you know, did it right away. And that's why we don't understand why Find the Crew and Crew Bay do not do it, because it's possible. So we have a lot of men. We have also sailing associations who are supporting us. Of course, we have a lot of captains, because in our collective, we want to allow the women to sail safely. So we have a vetting process for safe captains. We have a lot of beautiful souls who are helping us in this cause. And this is so important for us to also have men with us, because it's not a fight against men. It's a fight of men and women against sexual predators. It's very
right. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing I want to say is that we are all volunteers. We are dealing with, I'm mostly carrying the effort, even though we have a team of people who help me from time to time. But yeah, we are all volunteers. I mean, me, since my assault, I have a lot of issues, PTSD, very strong insomnia issues, very strong, all kinds of, PTSD. And I cannot work as I did before. So it's very difficult. And any support we can get is welcome. Especially because since those platforms are not cooperative, even a year after we started to ask them to take into account the realities of those crimes happening, we are taking the legal route, especially against Crew Bay in the UK. And so we're also looking for support on that. For now, we don't really have legal counsel in the UK, but we are looking for one. So if anybody can help us on that, it would be amazing. Voilà.
Yeah, it would. So I believe you have a general email address that we could drop in the show notes if anyone wanted to reach out, correct?
Absolutely. So because we are a collective and we're not an NGO and we're not a charity and we want to remain a collective because it's a grassroots effort from humans to humans, we do not have a website or, you know, a lot of internet presence, but we do have a very, very vibrant Facebook group, which is called Sailing Safely for Women. And we do have an email address, which is sailingsafelywomen@protonmail.com. And you are all welcome to join us on the group. Ali, of course, you are on the group, and a lot of our advocacy partners are there. And we do have a lot of very interesting discussions, dialogue, and sometimes we also mobilize for emergencies. And then the email is for really more in-depth advocacy conversations with official interlocutors such as the ministries and governmental authorities that I mentioned before. And voila.
All right. We'll put links to everything you mentioned in the show notes so people can reach out to help and learn more. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for coming on the show and for leading this fight for change in the industry so that we can make it safer.
Thank you so much for having me, Ali, and thank you so much for your support. You have been one of the first to support us, and this is extremely appreciated and valuable to us.
Absolutely. The conversation will continue around sexual assault and sexual harassment. Ending our mini-series next week, you'll hear from Christine McMillan. She's leading the charge at Women Offshore for a sexual assault and violence eradication program, which we refer to as SAVE at Women Offshore. Christine will share what she's been up to, the vision for the program, and what's going to happen next, so that we can provide more support to the members of our community and work with the maritime industry to eradicate sexual assault and violence at sea. Thanks so much for listening to the Women Offshore podcast. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next week.